Okay. So for those who want to know, for Tisha B'Av 5778, we're going to be doing, I'm going to be explaining keynote 6, 11, 12, 16, 21, 23, 25, 31, 34, and 36. And Rabbi Young Grace hopefully will have the numbers similar to past years. I changed it a little bit. A lot of what I say is going to be based on the keynotes Misaras HaRav, from the commentary of Rav Yosher Ber Soloveitchik. Tzatzal, his minhag was to explain the keynotes from the morning until late in the afternoon in Boston. I think they did mincha around 4 or 5 in the afternoon. Even he was going straight from 10 in the morning. I won't go that long, although the minhag is to try to do it to close to Chatzos, so we'll go for as long as we can. The first kina, many of them by Rabbi Elazar HaKalir, who was, according to some opinions, one of the Tanaim, Rabbi Elazar HaGadol, maybe he was one of the Rishonim, who lived much later. So Dar Shabbos Suru Medi Shimunu Achrai. Shabbos. And the word Shabbos here comes from the word Shabbos, but it doesn't mean to rest. It really means to stop. Like Shabbos, Lashbit, means like by Pesach, we talk about Lashbit at the Chametz, which means really to rest from the Chametz, to stop, to cease from the Chametz. The idea being that even though Yirmiyahu was telling them about the Chorban, about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Jeremiah the prophet, for many, 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 many years, for some 30 years, he was telling them the Chorban is going to come, and there were other Nevi'im before him. When it happened, it was sudden. It was a shock. No one expected it to happen. They say that Yirmiyahu himself was told by Hashem to go to Anatot to buy a field, a famous Nevuah, where he would buy a field. Why are you buying a field right before the destruction? To show that you're confident that's going to be rebuilt. And when he got back to Yerushalayim, he noticed on his way that he didn't see something he always saw, which was the fire, the smoke going up to heaven. And he knew that the Beis HaMikdash had been destroyed, and it came as a shock. Sakoto Mishkan Miskot Tiberai, it says how you spread a mishkan, a sukkah, a covering over the temple. And here we have an irony that we talk about a mishkan and a sukkah and as being synonyms for the Beit HaMikdash, because Hashem is showing that he's spreading his heavenly cloud of glory, the Giloy Shechina, over us through the temple. But here Hashem is making like this fog over the Beit HaMikdash so that you can't get to heaven. That somehow our connection to Hashem in some way, Kaviyachol, has been severed. That we can't reach him the same way we could in the past, because of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And then the second standard said, Nafla Udena Betul Duchia, she had fallen to the depths, and there she remained, Eini Chiksa Lechazon Ben Brachia. But our eyes look forward to, we await, the Chazon, the vision of Ben Brachia. This is talking about Zechariah Ben Brachia. This is very famous, the Gemara, I believe, from the end of Makos. The very famous Gemara, which really is a theme in a way of what we're doing on Tisha B'Av. That the Gemara describes that Rabbi Akiva and the other great Tanaim of that time were traveling to Yerushalayim, and they got up to Har Tofim, and they saw a jackal that was running around on where Har Bai is, where the Kodesh Kedoshim used to be, and everyone else started to cry, and Rabbi Akiva started to laugh. And all the other Tanaim say, Akiva, why are you crying? And why are you laughing? And Rabbi Akiva said, why are you crying? And they say, because we see that the place, the Kodesh Kedoshim, the Holy of Holies, where it says, Hazara Karev Yumat, that anyone who's not the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur who goes there will die on the spot. And now that the jackal running through it, it's so desolate. That the animals, not just any animals, the animals who never come to civilization are running on the Holy of Holies. We shouldn't cry. Rabbi Akiva says, that's why I laugh. Because there's a famous Nevuah from Yeshayahu. And Nevuah says that There, but Yishayahu says that I will take two witnesses. The quote is written that I will bring two trustworthy witnesses, Yishayahu says in Berachas, Orya Kohen and Zechariah ben Berachia. And Rabbi Kiva explained that what they're talking about, the two trustworthy witnesses, they're talking about two prophecies, one from Orya and the other from Zechariah. The prophecy from Orya is a reference to Micha. In Micha, Paragimo, it says, Sion besada techeresh, that Sion will be plowed like a field. And Zechariah's prophecy is talking about Zechariah ben Berechia. It's talking about the Navi Zechariah when he says, Old Yeshun Zekeni Zekenot Bechovat Yerushalayim, that the old woman and the old men will once again be sitting and dancing and clapping and happy in the streets of Jerusalem. And Rabbi Akiva says that the two prophecies were conditional on each other. The prophecy of the happiness that the old and the young will once again be sitting safely in the streets of Jerusalem with nothing to worry about can only come true. The prophecy of Zechariah, Eini Chikta, Zechariah Chazon Ben Berechia, the prophecy of Zechariah Ben Berechia, if first the prophecy of Orya Kohen comes true, Sion Besada Tichrash, which means not only will the base of Mikdash will be destroyed, but Sion, a synonym for Harabayas, for the base of Migdash, will be plowed like a field, it will be completely desolate. Rabbi Kiva says, until I saw that Sion was desolate, I had no promise that the second prophecy will come true. And now I see it, because I see that the jackal is going in the field by Harabayas, and I see that the first of the trustworthy witnesses of Yishayahu has come true, that Nevuah, that Sion is destroyed. So now I know, I'm happy once again that I can promise that Zion will be rebuilt. This is an idea that we have, that a slight amount of hope, that really the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash is the beginning of the reconstruction. It's not just a stira, it's listor al menach livnos, like we say in Gemara Shabbos, that the only type of destruction that's considered to be forbidden on Shabbat, the destruction, that's constructive work. I know in my own house, I've experienced kabiyachol a little bit of this, because we destroyed our kitchen the past 3 weeks, because they're going to be remodeling it. And I saw all the walls come down, and now I see that there is drywall waiting to be put up. So kabiyachol, we've been waiting 2,000 years for the drywall to come back up. But it couldn't happen until the Harabayas was destroyed. Once it was destroyed, this is also the idea that ironically, the part of the day when the Beis HaMikdash is burned down the most is really the afternoon of Tisha B'Av. It's going into, it wasn't burned until the afternoon. So why is the Iker morning, when we sit on the floor in the morning of Tisha B'Av, in the afternoon we can start to sit on chairs, somehow the morning comes a little bit less. And the reason is because until the destruction starts, the reconstruction cannot begin. Eini chikta l'chazon ben Berechia. Our eyes await the chazon of Zechariah ben Berechia. We've seen the destruction. Hopefully in our days we can see the reconstruction as well. Shava. We're up to V'yakodin Yirmiyahu al Yoshiyahu. And Yirmiyahu composed keynote lamentation, sad songs for Yoshiyahu HaMelech. The keynotes start to switch in their tone, starting actually with the previous parak of parak of kino yud, and now kino yud aleph, 10-11, to no longer describe at this moment the destruction of the building of the temple per se, but the deaths of the people connected to that building. And it starts with yud, where it describes that we just read all the different cities of the Kohanim, of the priests in the various parts of Eretz Yisrael, and how they were destroyed. And now it goes full circle in Yud Aleph, where it described Yoshiyahu HaMelech, Yoshiyahu the king. And the question about this is that Yoshiyahu died 22 years before the destruction of the first temple. So really, whereas the death of the Kohanim was the direct outgrowth, continuation, part of the destruction of the temple, why is the death of Yoshiyahu, however tragic it may be, a great king, mentioned with the keynote? And so a famous idea, which is brought down in the Gemara, Shkula misasam shel tzadikim kisrefas beis alokeinu, that the death of our tzadikim, of our righteous people, is equal to destruction of the temple. This is a theme we're going to see repeat itself, where they're going to describe in the keynote not only the death of Yoshiyahu, but we're going to have a keynote we're going to describe for the Asara Rugei Malchus, for the great martyrs amongst the Tanaim who were killed by the Romans sometime either the generation of or the generation following the destruction of the temple. And we're later on going to describe the death of all the Kedoshim throughout the First Crusade, and Worms, and Speyer, and Mainz, and all the cities in the Rhineland where the Crusaders decided to destroy the Jewish communities. And these are all examples of the death of the Tzaddikim being equal to the destruction of the temple. And there are two ways to interpret this, Rav Soloveitchik explained. The simple understanding is that the death of the Tzaddikim is equal. It creates a hole in our lives, just like the temple. Just like the temple is a terrible tragedy, the death of the Tzaddikim is equally tragic. But one could go one step further, that one could say that one is tied to the other, that the death of the Tzaddikim is what causes the destruction of the temple. If we look at Yoshiyahu, and I'll describe his story, but first to describe his death, Yoshiyahu was a great and righteous king who died at the prime of his life when he was still in his 30s, and he had brought back so many people to Judaism, to a knowledge of Hashem and the Torah. He led a big Baal Tshuva movement. And after Yoshiyahu dies, his son Yoyakim is going to take over, and he's going to be one of the most wicked kings. And he's going to bring back the Avodah Zarah, and he's going to bring back really terrible things and fight with the Navi, with Yirmiyahu. And one could wonder, what would have happened had Yoshiyahu lived, had Yoshiyahu not died? He died in the prime of his life. He could have lived 10, 20, 30 further years. Perhaps the temple wouldn't have been destroyed. So Shekula Misasam Shel Tzadikim Kisrefas Beit Elokeinu. It's the death of the Tzadikim that could have caused destruction of the temple. And we say specifically about Yoshiyahu, and the fourth of chapter of Eicha is actually a kina that Yirmiyahu wrote for Yoshiyahu. So it describes about his life. Ben Shmona Shana Heichol Lidrosh Me'ilav. He became king at the age of 8 years old. His father Amon was a terribly wicked person. His grandfather Menashe, who ruled for 55 years, was known to be one of the most wicked kings we ever had. So you imagine an entire 2 generations of people were living with no Torah, with no guidance, with the wicked Menashe and Amon. This little boy becomes king, and somehow, and this is before even Yirmiyahu is the Navi, Yirmiyahu becomes the Navi in the 13th year of Yoshiyahu's reign. Somehow, this boy, Yoshiyahu, starts to seek out Hashem on his own. But B'nei Chamba Avram Chanu Alav Lo Zkir Lo Shigamek Alav, it goes to the end of his life where the sons of Cham, Egypt, are going to camp against him, and not the merit of his good deeds won't be to avail. What happened with him? Gam B'chol HaMalachim Asher Kamo Ligdor Lo Kam Kamo Mimot HaVigdor. About this Yoshiyahu, he comes full circle, he discovers Hashem, and we're going to describe in a moment how he does. And the Navi says about him something it never said about anyone. It said that he worshipped Hashem b'chol levavo u'b'chol nafsho u'b'chol ma'odo. What we say about the Shema, who is the personification of someone who loves Hashem b'chol levavo u'b'chol nafsho u'b'chol ma'odecha, with all of his heart, with all of his soul, with all of his might? That's Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu was such a great king. Such a great, great king. So what happened? So it describes, first of all, how he became such a great king. Zachu Amara Kinam Dasla Akim Bita Emrata Ba'ara L'Cheloyakim. So Yoshiyahu leads a great tshuva movement, and they go into the Beis HaMikdash to re-establish the temple, which had been basically almost started to fall down because it had been ignored by Amon and by Menashe. And they find inside the Kodesh Kedoshim a Torah. And they didn't know what a Torah was even. And people say they'd never seen a Torah for generations. And they opened up, it was the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah Moshe wrote himself, that was always kept in the Holy of Holies. And they opened it up, and it's opened up to the curses. Arei Asher Lo Yakim Et Divrei HaTorah Hazot. Cursed be the one who doesn't keep the words of the Torah. And when Yoshiyahu heard this, he tore Kriya, and he led the Tshuva movement even more to get everyone back to following Hashem, to the point where they had guards going from house to house, from city to city, to make sure there were no idols in the house. So what happened? Davak bo avon leitani ador, but the sin of the hypocrite, the leitzes, the mockers of the generation, asher achar adelet kam lestor, the mockers, the ones who didn't follow Torah, what did they do to fool the guards? They put their idols inside their doorpost. So when you opened the door, the guards wouldn't see the idol because the door was hiding it. But when they closed the door, there the idol would be. So Yoshio thought that his generation was blameless, but they were still leitzim, the worst type of people, the mockers, hiding the idols inside the doors. And what was happening over here? It describes how there was a fight, an argument, a machlokas l'shem shemayim, between Yoshio and the Navi. Suru e'idu ad lo shiyav imanu soru mat yisod nishiyav. The Navi says, turn back before the disaster strikes. What happened? So Paro, Necho, wanted to go through Eretz Yisrael, and he didn't want to conquer Israel. His goal was that he wanted to go north to fight against the new rising empire, Bavel, which was then ruled by Nebuchadnezzar, and very soon was going to be ruled by his son Nebuchadnezzar. And Bavel was ascended. Asher had just been destroyed as an empire. And Paro wanted to fight Bavel, and the only way to get up to Carchemish, where the famous battle would take place, was to go through Israel. So Paro says, I want to go through the land. He says, Tovim Reim Nikro Kishalko Malak Maliva Lak Ayom Lutzalak. We're friends, Paro says to Yoshio. I don't want to bother you. I just want my troops to go through your land. But Yoshio said no, because it says in the Torah that Vechever Lota Vorbar Techem, that when you're following Mimbechotai Telechu, if you follow Hashem's mitzvos, Hashem will make shalom in the land, peace, and there won't be a sword in the land. And so Yoshio made a simple drasha. It already said that if you follow Hashem's mitzvot, there's going to be peace. So why did it say that there won't be a sword in the land? There's already peace. So it must mean afilu cherev shel shalom, Yoshio says. In other words, not only won't there be foreign armies coming to conquer you, there won't even be foreign armies coming through your land to conquer someone else. There won't be any foreign swords as well. So Yoshio said, the people are following b'chokotai teilechu, they're following your mitzvos, I am going to take a stand for Hashem, and I'm not going to allow the cherub to go through the land, the cherub of Paro Necho. And Yirmiyo cried to me, said, no, let him through, you don't realize the people are still doing averos. Yirmiyo was the Navi, and he was the one who was able to see the worst in the people, when the people were following Averos, even in hiding. But Yoshio, the great leader, what made him great was also what made his downfall, because he only saw the best of people. And he only saw that they were following the Torah. He didn't know they were hiding the idols in their doorposts. So Yoshio said, I'm going to take a stand against the king Paro Necho. And he was doing it l'shem shemayim, even though he was wrong. He was doing it for the right reason, because he loved his people. And it describes, Odenu otim eina begev yonochatim cheta chachet morim velochatim. Arrow after arrow came into him. Sadu v'samur k'matara lachitim. Yoshio, when he fights Paro, becomes like a target. Four arrows, v'yizraku bo shlosh me'ot chitim, 300 arrows go into him, kalim satub achora v'azon mote piu, swiftly they drew near to hear his last word, v'amitzoy nefesh ma'atzav e'fiu, ruach sefatav hipta mi'piu. What were Yoshio's last words after he took the stand for Hashem, and he was killed tragically in battle, and he knows he's about to die, and his strength is waning? Did he curse at Hashem? Did he argue, why is this happening? No, Yoshio, the great Melech, the great Tzaddik, said, Tzaddik hu Hashem, ki marisu piu, Hashem is the Tzaddik, Hashem is the righteous, because I have rebelled against Hashem, because even though he had the right intent, he should have listened to the Navi Yirmiyo, and he shouldn't have fought against Paro, who was a rebellion against Hashem. Hashem is the Tzaddik. Tam kesem atov am zu b'pasham. Gone before, because of their sin, is the finest gold, Yoshio. V'yichonim alav ko eicha yuam zam. And that's why the chapter 4 of Eicha with Dartid Eicha, how is the gold dimmed? Yoshio is explaining, talking about the gold of of the great Yoshio, and it end Tala Esimushtaim Maros Chatzoki Tapdilo Echab Esimushtaim Osios. There was one slight silver lining that because Yirmiyahu said an Echa, said a lamentation for Yoshio of 22 letters of the Aleph Bay, 22 Psukim that were according to the Aleph Bay's. So there were 22 year delay. After the death of Yoshio, the Beis Hamikdash lasted for 22 more years. The death of our tzaddik Yoshio and others is equal to the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. So Yidbeis Aliyah Sher Ta'avta Ad Lo Mereishis. So this kina, which I was just looking for the first time at the commentary about Soloveitchik on this, which is incredible. I'm going to read some of it verbatim. This kina talks about the oil, the tent of Hashem, which obviously is a reference to the Beis Hamikdash, which is the Ohel Hashem, it's the Sukkah of Hashem, it's the Mishkan, it's Hashem's dwelling kaviyacho in this world. But it describes how really there was a concept of a Beis Hamikdash before there was a Beis Hamikdash. The Gemara in the Nedarim described that there were seven things created before the creation of the world, and these were the Torah and Tshuva and Gad Eden and Ge'enim and the Kitzer HaKavod, the heavenly throne, and the Beis Hamikdash in the name of the Mashiach. So the Beis Hamikdash is one of the seven things that were created before the world was created. So what does that mean? So it describes all Yasher Te'abda Ad Lo Mibreishit, the tent which you planned even before Breishis. Im kise kavod the tsarfo. So Rav Soloveitchik explains something incredible. He says that the original Beis Hamikdash was supposed to be the whole world. Malar aretz, the shemayim and the shmeya shemayim cannot contain you, Hashem says. Originally, the entire olam, the entire bria, the universe, was supposed to be the Beis Hamikdash of Hashem. And this is what Adam HaRishon would declare on the first Shabbos of Bereishis from Gan Eden. And had it not been for the sin of Adam, that would have been no need for a physical Beis Hamikdash, because the whole universe would be a Beis Hamikdash. This also explains very well why we learn the Melechas HaMishkan, why we learn the Lamites Malachos, the 39 forbidden work on Shabbos, from the building of the Mishkan. Because the Mishkan is really meant, the Mishkan, the Beis Hamikdash, the tabernacle, the temple, to be a microcosm for the universe, that Hashem dwells throughout the universe. And after Hashem could no longer dwell kabiyacho in the whole universe because of the chet of Adam HaRishon, then the Ohel is transferred to the great forefathers. Oli Asher Kamanta Leisani Kedem Becherdat Me'efo, my tent which you elevated for the powerful patriarchs. The tents of all the Avos were themselves also a makom amikdash, a Beis Hamikdash. Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they were the Beis Hamikdash as well of that time, because as Avram says, he would make an altar and cry out to Hashem. Avram Kaviyachol was making a Beis Hamikdash. Similarly, we see that when Yitzchak brought Rivka back to the tent, it said that three things returned, which are directly connected to three things in the Beis Hamikdash: the challah and the challah with rose, and the ner Shabbos with burn from Shabbos to Shabbos, and the anon on top. And obviously these are reference to the lechem upon him, and the ner Shabbos, the ner tamid in the Beis Hamikdash, and the anon, the Shechina of Hashem, the dwelling over the Beis Hamikdash. So we had a gila Shechina even in the tents of our avos. And then it describes all yesher pata lamano letzir Ata Amod Imadi Po, and then Moshe Rabbeinu, when he's on Har Sinai and with Nikra Tzur, and he's on the Tzur, and he feels Hashem's presence, he also feels the Beis Hamikdash, the Kedusha, the Shechina that's dwelling with him. And furthermore, as we know, the famous Ramban, who explains that the whole purpose of the Mishkan was a reenactment of Maimed Har Sinai. The whole act of Hashem giving the Torah to Bnei Yisrael at Har Sinai was another Beis Hamikdash, Gila Shechina, in this world. And then we add the Beis Hamikdash, where it says, Va'asim li mikdash v'shachanti b'tocham. What the purpose of the Beis Hamikdash? It's not that you should dwell in the building, but that through the Beis Hamikdash we should have a Gila Shechina in each and every one of us. Every one of us, we should have a Gila Shechina from the Beis Hamikdash. And now through this Kina, we're describing how the Beis Hamikdash is not here anymore. We don't have the Gila Shechina from the Brachos, and we don't have the Gila Shechina from the Avos, and we don't have the Gila Shechina even from the physical building. But we daven that once again, when Mashiach comes, we will have the Beis HaMikdash once again, and it will not just be a Gila Shechina in one building, but it will become a Gila Shechina like the Adam and Chava before the Chet in Gan Eden, that the entire universe will have Hashem's dwelling through the Mikdash. Oli Asher Ta'avta Ad Lo Bereishit in Kesi. Tazayin 16 tells a bunch of the famous stories about the Chorban Bayis Sheni, the destruction of the Second Temple that are brought down in the Gemara in Gittin. Specifically the stories about Titus Arasha, the evil wicked Titus with the general at the time of the Chorban, who was so proud of what he did that we know he made the famous Arch of Titus in Rome, celebrating the fact that he had vanquished the Jewish people, and in his mind, he had defeated Hashem. Zechorat asher asar tzar b'fnim. Remember what this enemy, Titus, did in the innermost chambers of the temple. Shalav Charbo Ubalif Naibufnim. He took out his sword. He went into the Holy of Holies, the inner chamber. Nachalasenu B8. He shocked our Nachala Kitime Lechem Apanim. He profaned the Lechem Apanim. He took the sword and went into the showbread. Vigidir Parochat Balach Tepanim. He pierced the curtain, the Parochat, which separated the Kodesh from the Kodesh Kedashim. And then Hashem, Yisomim Giyal B'Mage Ma'adam, the orphan nation he disgraced with his blood shield, bloodstained shield, V'yamadid Ka B'mara Adam Dam, he drew a line of reddish color. Mimenu Dalach V'Hizkir Chita Midam V'yata Min Abayit V'Charba Mleyam Dam. It describes Hashem made Kabayachol a miracle, but not a miracle that we celebrate, a miracle that we cry for. That when Titus put his sword into the parochat, into the curtain, separating the holy from the holy of holies, the sword started to get blood on it. The parochat started to bleed. And Titus said, I have killed Hashem. God is dead. That's what Titus did. Hashem caused this terrible Chilu Hashem to happen. It describes even more further. Avosenu Zara Iknitsu Bachorav Achla Eish. We know our great forefathers, the sons of Aaron, Nadav, Avihu, when they brought an Eish Zara in the temple, in the Kodesh Kedashim, they brought a foreign fire on the eighth day of the Miluim. And their intention was purely for Hashem. And Hashem struck them down. And they were killed. B'krovai akadesh. Upnei kol ha'am achaved. Through your holiest, closest ones, Hashem caused the Kiddush Hashem. Nadav Avihu had the best of intention, and they were struck down on the spot for bringing any foreign fire, even a fire that was meant for Hashem, into the Holy of Holies. V'zeh soa zona hiknis. Lo nikva ba'ish. And what did Titus do? He brought a zona, a harlot, into the Holy of Holies and did the worst averos, the most immoral actions in the Kodesh Kedashim. And there was no fire. Nothing happened. The terrible Chilu Hashem that happened. Nashim Kisharu Kiva Arit. Woman stared at this tyrant. Bekarka Abayat Nealata Harit. He scarred the floor of the temple with his boots. They destroyed the temple down to the struts so that he would bang with his boots and destroy the floor of the temple. Everything was destroyed. That describes later in the Kina an explanation for the famous wall. We saw video, some of us, I saw last night, of all the people at the Kosel on Tisha B'Av singing on Imamin. If you haven't seen it yet, you can see it online. Al Pesach HaRabayit Eichol Lavo. He started to go to the gate of Har Habayit. Biyad Arba Rashid Tzarav Lachrivo. He made each of his four chiefs in charge of destroying one of the walls. Asad Maravi Lezecher Hisridbo. But he left the western wall. Titus left one wall of the retaining wall of the Har Habayit, the Kosa Maravi, the western wall. Hashem Kaviyoko stood behind the wall, did not defend everything else. Why did he do this? So he did this because he wanted to show the glory of Rome. That look at this giant wall, the only leftover of the Beit HaMikdash. And if this wall is left over, look what I destroyed. But we know we have the last lap because Titus and Rome are gone. The glory of Rome is no more. But the Kosa Maravi remained, the western wall, our last vestige of the holiness of the Beis HaMikdash still remains. And then it describes at the end another famous story, which unfortunately was repeated many times, many generations, during the Crusades and later on during the Holocaust, the Shoah. Atak etzavte v'reiti lifnot. You were enraged and allowed the evacuation of Yeladim asher ein b'hem kol mi'um misham lifanot. Children without blemish were put into exile. Lama ragshu goyim. The nation stormed v'lo sha'ata ela minchat pinot. You do not heed the carbon mincha. You do not heed the offerings. V'shulchem l'aretut b'slot tzvinot. So what happens? There are three ships of Jewish boys and girls that were being sent to the land of Utz on boats. Utz, the land of Oz. Utz, where Eov comes from. Heshivanu Shivu, Kival, the Divche Yam, Vishitvu Atzbam Yachad, and Pobayam, and they didn't know what to do. Because they knew that why were the Romans bringing them to Rome, these beautiful boys and girls? Because they were going to make them be slaves. And not only slaves, but be slaves to do immoral acts, to force them to do horrible things. And they didn't know what to do because they couldn't stop it. They would be physically forced. So they chose with their last vestige of Bechira Chafshis, of free will, they made a choice. We will not be slaves doing immoral acts for the Romans. And they jumped off the ship. They drowned themselves in the water. And when they did, Hishivani Shivu, they sang, bring us back from the waters. Shir v'tishbaka shoru kal yam ki alaka ragnim tzot yam. They sang Shira like we sing Shira at the Yam Suf. They sang Shira as they were going into the Yam. They were asking Hashem, would we be brought back at the time of Tchiyat HaMetim? Because we have no grave, there's nowhere, we're buried in the sea. Ki ta'omot bo ad nafsham, kozot batu v'lo shechakudu chalamishan, tikvasam natnu l'meshi mi bashan. Their hope is that they will be retrieved from Bashan. A bas called Nishma, a heavenly voice came out, Ura Lamatisha, the heavenly voice came out and said, yes, you will go back at Tchiyat HaMetim, this great, brave act. And we know, unfortunately, this was repeated many times, famous stories of Beis Yaakov girls at the time of the Holocaust, who did exactly the same thing, of entire towns at the time of the Crusades, who chose death of their own accord, rather than be forced by the horrible Romans and the Christians and the Nazis, the Yimach Shemam, to do horrible acts. But Hashem promises that all these people will return, hopefully very, very soonly, speedily, b'mehera b'yameinu, u'basko nishma u'ra lama tishon, when the Basko will say, wake up, why are you slumber? Come back, the Mashiach has arrived. It's time for Tchiyat HaMetim. Chaf Aleph, Arzea, Lebanon, 21. Cedars of Lebanon, Adira, Torah, Masters of the Torah. Baalei Tracin, Srisim, Bid Mishnah, Gemara, Shield Bearers, in Mishnah, Gemara. Giborei Koach, Powerful Heroes, Amalea, Bitara, who do their Amelus, who do their backbreaking work with purity. This is talking about the great Talmidei Chachamim who are fighting the Mochamta Shal Torah, the fight of the Torah. This is one of the first keynotes not to be written by Rabbi Elazar HaKalir. It's written by Meir Ben Yechiel Chazak, which I think is spelled out later on in the Kina toward the end. And it's about the Asara Ruge Malchus, the famous 10 martyrs, the 10 great Gedolim, Gedolei Yisrael, Tanaim, Kedoshim, who were murdered by the Romans, Al Kiddush Hashem. And once again, we know the reason why this is here. Some of these are not really connected directly to the Korban Beis HaMikdash. But Shkula Misasam Shal Sadikim Kisreifas Beis Elokeinu. We don't just mourn the destruction of a building, but equally, if not more, we mourn the destruction of great, 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 great Sadikim leaders. These were the ones who fought the Mochamto Shel Torah, the War of the Torah. They died in two generations, the generation of the Chorban, and some of them died one generation later after the Chorban of Beitar, when Bar Kokhba made a revolt against the Romans, and he made his last stand at Beitar. And after Beitar fell, the Romans wanted to show that they finally were in charge, and they raised Jerusalem. They actually renamed it Aelia Capitolina, because they wanted to erase the name of Jerusalem, that no one would ever say the name of Jerusalem again in the history of the world. That didn't really work. And they wanted to destroy these great Talmidei Chachamim, so no one would ever learn Torah again in the history of the Jewish people. We know that didn't really work either. But we mourn for these great tzaddikim. So it describes here, Damam nispa kamayim v'natzab givura. Their blood is spilled like water. Their strength is sapped. Hinam kedoshe haruge malchus. These are the kedoshim, the holy ones who were killed, martyred by the kingdom of Rome. Asara bal ela nibochia ve'eni nigran. These I am crying for. So these are them. Zos bezakri ezak zaka gedolo marachemdat Yisrael klei kodesh nezer v'atara. It describes the delight of Israel, the crown of the Torah, Torah leib, kodesh kedoshim shisasa mimisa chamura, who died a horrible death. Yado goro mirishon lechere berura. So they had a lot. Who would be first? Kinfo goro Rab Shimon. So it fell on Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, Pasha Tzavaru Bacho, Kignigzra Gezera, L'Rav Shimon Chazar Egmon L'Argo B'Nefet Netzura. He stretched out his neck and accepted the decree. Rav Shimon turned, they turned to Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon, who was ben Gamliel, Mizera Aaron Chal V'Akasha Libkot Al Ben Agvira, not a rosho, the son of Akvosa Minorah Torah. So Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol begged to be first. He didn't want Rabbi Shimon to die first. He begged that he should be first. So Einav al Einav upiv al piv ba'ava gemura. They face each other with love. Anav arapam isgaber b'torah pisom niknasa alav misa mishuna b'chamura. This path, this mouth that was so vigorous in Torah, she had such a horrible death. So what happened? So it describes, they say about Rabbi Yochanan Kohen Gadol, the Rabbi Yochanan Kohen Gadol, sorry, not Rabbi Yochanan, I'm mixing up, Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol was really beautiful. He was very, very handsome, Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol. And so the daughter of the emperor said, this beautiful face, how are you going to kill him? So the emperor said, I have an idea, we can stuff him. Like some people stuff an animal that they kill on the range. We're going to save his beautiful face. You can look at his beautiful face your whole life. What horrible people. And so they decided to flay his skin alive. They want to flay his skin alive with a razor. Kiyam ba'ora amu l'napshek shechiv v'navora. Rasha poshet eis higia l'mkom tfilin mitzvah bara. When they got to the place of the tefillin on the forehead, where he had done such a great mitzvah every single day of his life, Shima Sa'aka v'nizvavda olam v'eretz etfara. There was such a great cry from Yishmael, not from the pain of being flayed alive, but from the fact that they reached the makom atfilin, that the earth trembled. Tamo zechusa ledoros kol adonai ba'adara. His merit will stand for generations, said Hashem. Me'acharav eviyu at Rabbi Akiva, that's Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, the generation of the Chorban. Later they bring Rabbi Akiva. This is later on. This is after the Chorban, after the fall of Bar Kokhba. Oker Hari Metokhnan Zuba Zubisvar. Rabbi Akiva was known as the Oker Hari. Remember, there's a famous Gemara, what is greater, Sinai or Oker Harim? Sinai meaning someone who knows everything, who's the Bucky. And Oker Harim, someone with tremendous analytical skills to analyze, like to be able to take two mountains together in Torah and move them together. And Rabbi Akiva was known as the Oker Harim. He was such a great Torah Tamid Chacham. Much of the Mishnah is based on the work of Rabbi Akiva and his student Rabbi Meir. At Bisara Misroka Bimasreka Bartali Shtabra, they take him and they wanted to flay him alive, to comb off his flesh in a big amphitheater with everyone watching. Yasta Nishmasha Ba'echo Basko Amra Biakiva Shraka Gupka Tara Bachomine Tara. Famous story. Another story about Rabbi Akiva laughing. His Talmidim are sitting in front of him. They're getting the iron comb to flay his skin. And Rabbi Akiva is laughing. His students are crying. And his students say, Rabbi Akiva, why are you laughing? And Rabbi Akiva says, why are you crying? They say, we're crying, Rabbi, you're about to be killed in such a horrible death. Rabbi Akiva says, that's why I'm laughing. Because my whole life I said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Va'avta et Hashem levavcha b'chol nafshecha b'chol me'odecha. You have to love Hashem b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol me'odecha, with your heart, your soul, your might. And I know that b'chol nafshecha means afilu ata noto at nafshecha. You should love Hashem with all your life, even if they're going to kill you. Because of your love of Hashem. Rabbi Akiva said, my whole life I wondered, why ever be zocha to love Hashem with all my nefesh? And now I am. Because I'm able to be mekayim in the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. And that's why he was laughing. And his student said, Akiva nechamtani, you have given us the chama. And Rabbi Akiva was flayed alive. And he says, Shema Yisrael, as he was being killed. And when he got to the word Echad, he was killed. And then it talks about others, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Chananya ben Trajon, who was learning Torah, and he always learned from a Torah scroll. So they gathered him together and they wrapped him in his Torah scroll. Yoshe v'doresh v'sefer Torah imo, he always learned with the Sefer Torah. Yikifu b'chevle zemora, they wrapped him up in his Torah. Et ha'or yisisu b'ahem mechachrua b'sefer Torah v'aru bo avara, and they put moistened cloth so that he wouldn't die so quickly when he was wrapped in the Torah. And what happened? The executioner saw the devotion of Chananya ben Trajan. First, they asked him, "What do you see?" And he said, "I see that the Torah is burning, but the letters are going back up to the Shemayim. The letters were still of the Torah were still there." And the executioner said, "What can I do to help you? Is there anything I can do?" And he said, "If you remove the cloth, so I don't have so much pain, I die quicker." And the executioner did it, and then it says that the executioner jumped in with him and also died al Kiddush Hashem. And it talks about Rabbi Yeshove Vasofer, who was thrown out to the, who was the great scribe, was thrown to the dogs. Rabbi Chaniah ben Chakinai, Rabbi Chutzpah ben Turgaman, he was the one who used to explain everything, so he was killed with his tongue being cut out. Rabbi Lezer ben Shemua, all these Hina v'Kehina Usifu b'nei Avla Yochle were all killed. Amet Berkayim Koshot Chelak Yaakov Moshia Beitzara L'Tzedek Yimlak Melak V'Shalmu Yimei Evlak La'oro Nisa V'Neilak. The king shall reign in righteousness. Your days of mourning shall cease. By his light he shall journey forward. Shkula Misasam Shal Tzadikim K'Sreifat Beis Elokeinu. May the death of these Tzadikim be equal to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So we should see the Beis Hamikdash rebuilt b'mehira b'yameinu. Next kina, we're up to 23, Chaf Gimel, tells another story from the Gemara in Gittin. And it's another story that connects to what we talked about earlier. We talked about Yishmael Kohen Gadol, who was so beautiful that they decided to flay his skin, his face, with a razor so they could make it into some type of plaything. So Yishmael Kohen Gadol has a ben and a bat, had a son and a daughter who are also very beautiful. And they were both brought into captivity. They were made slaves to the Romans. They were brought to Rome. Eight nishbu v'naflu l'shnei adonim. They were held captive to two masters. V'im shcheinim and the ashkacha pratis. The two masters were neighbors to each other. Zelu mazechoni. They were next door neighbors. V'yisapru zela zeh inyanim. And they start to talk amongst each other. Zamar b'shivya tzionim shaviti shivcha levushat shanim kilavana b'ziv v'kluster panim. I have captured such a beautiful maidservant, slave woman, from the Jews, from the tzionim. Ubisoar ketia mimima va'imu yami yamima, an appearance like ketia and yamima, such a beautiful, radiant woman. Ve'ehu siperlo b'kiflayim. And then his friend, he doubles it. He says even more so. He exaggerates double. Hey, nani ba mishivya Yerushalayim. You know what I got from the captive Yerushalayim? Shavisi eved yifei enayim. I have captured such a handsome boy slave. Kishemesh betakbo etza arayim. Like the sun in full force. Vitzar etzimana yishlima. Like the moon in its fullness. I have such a... So they have this one as a beautiful girl slave. This one as a beautiful boy slave. They make a deal. They say, let's put them together in a room at night. And we'll make a shidduch. And we'll have such beautiful children. This is the children of Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol, the son of the daughter. They agree, and that night they go, they put them into a room together. Outside, the masters have one heart, they want to make beautiful slave children. And meanwhile, these two slaves, this Yiddish boy and this Yiddish girl, are sitting and they're crying. They yispod because Leivav Yimsad Nin Aaron Eik Leshivcha Nin Yose. This one's crying. He doesn't know who the girl is on the other side. It's pitch black. The son of Aaron. I am a grandson of Aaron. I am a priestly family, and I'm going to be given off to a slave girl. Vehigam he tiliel devsigrat shosa bash yocheved eik laevet inase. She cries, the daughter of Yocheved. How can I be brought to a slave? Oy kizos gazar, woe that this has happened. Omer v'yosa lezot yubku ash keso v'kima. Even the constellations are weeping. Or boker zeh zeki girl. Then the night of day comes and they realize, hoyachi v'hoyachoti girl. They're brother and sister. They realize their brother and sister were brought together as slaves. They embrace until they die together. That's what Yirmiyo was lamenting. When he said, I'm crying all the time. For the son and the daughter, I will deliver a great lament. I will mourn every year the terrible tragedy of the son and daughter Yishmael Kohen Gadol. But to the end, they kept their dignity and they kept their purity as Jews, and they died together. Al Kiddush Hashem. Chafei. Is the second of the kinos. I didn't explain the other one. We'll explain this one that describes the Chorban at the time of the Crusades of worms and manes. This kino was written by Rabbi Kilonimus Ben Yehuda of Spire. And you know, the Kilonimus family had a great long history in the Rhineland for many, many years. And the way it went was the Crusaders in 1096, the Pope Urban II riled up the Christian hordes to go save the Holy Land from the infidel. And then they had an idea. They said, Svara, why are we traveling across the entire world to save the Holy Land from the infidel? We have the infidel, we have the Jews who won't accept Yeshu, Yimach Shemam, in our backyard. So let's go and let's destroy them. We'll go from city to city and we'll give them the ultimate choice that they should either accept Yeshu or they should die. And so the Jews in the communities, V'afayu yuzlu mayim demala gira balkoni mara harya spira, my eyelids flow with water, dripping. I weep bitterly for the murder of the spires. Bishani Bishmona Bo Biyo Margoa Hukra, it was the 8th day of the 2nd month, the 8th day of the month of Iyar. One of the reasons why it's given, why the mourning of the Sfiras HaOmer, people mourn the second half, is because all of the crusades that happened were the second half of Sfiras HaOmer, from Rosh Chodesh Iyar until through Shavuos. Margoa Laragoa Nechlabula Vira Laragu Bechure Chemed Beshishe Adara, they were destroyed. Nasfu Yachad Nafsham Ishlimu Bamora, and they gathered together. And one of the things that made the Crusades unique was the fact that they gathered together, and the rub of the city would come and he would say, they're going to come and they're going to force our children to enter into following Yeshu and this horrible stuff into Avodah Zarah. We need to act now. And the Jews en masse committed suicide and they killed their own children and they killed the entire city. So when the Crusaders came into the city, everyone was dead. We have recounts on this both from Jewish sources, the Crusader Chronicles, and from non-Jewish sources. And these are the things that happened, the horrible things in Spire and Vermaisa and Mainz. And the question becomes, why do we talk about this on Tisha B'Av? Why don't we talk about this during that time? And so this is answered on the second page, a very important source. Timu al-Levavchem, the bottom of Mispeid Mar Lakashra, take to your heart this horror and compose a yodi. Kishagula rigasan lisabul lisafra kisrefas besa lokeno ulam vavira. We've said this many times. Skula misasan shel sadikim kisrefas besa lokeno. That the death of these holy kedoshim during the crusade, with Rashi lived through, some of the Balei Tosfot lived through, is equal to the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. But then it said, "Ki ein lahosif moed shever b'savera, vein lahatim zulasi lachora." One is not supposed to add a moed to this grief, and one should not have any other day. Takat kein ayom leviyasi arara vespadave lili vebka benefesh mara vanchati kavda mibokar aderev. That's why today is the day. So it says right here, Rav Kolonimus Ben Yehuda of Spire writes that we're not supposed to add more days of mourning to commemorate the horrible event. That's what Tisha B'Av is for. That Tisha B'Av is the day for mourning throughout history. There's a famous story, I've heard it, I'm still trying to find the video, that Menachem Begin was once asked why they don't do mourning, I guess on Yom HaShoah, they don't fast, and he said that we have one day for mourning the Shoah, the Prime Minister said, and that day is Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is the day for mourning the Shoah, for mourning the Crusades, for mourning the Asara Rugei Malchus, for all the horrible things that have befallen our people throughout history. Al Beit Yisrael, Va'al Am Hashem, Ki Naflu B'Cherev, the House of Israel, the Nation of Hashem, that has fallen to the sword. Mi te roshimayi. Lamed Aleph Eish Tukad Bekirbi is the kina that we sing at the song, and it contrasts the great miracles of Betzeti Mimitzrayim. So we sing that in a high note, in a major, and then with the horrible things, tragedy that befell us, Betzeti Mirshalayim, when we left Yerushalayim. So, for example, Ad Yashir Moshe Ashir Lo Yunata B'Tzeitim Yitzrayim. We had Ad Yashir, we had Shirat Hayam, we had beautiful songs at the sea for the miracles of Kriyat Yamsuf when we left Mitzrayim. Yikodim Yirmiyah V'Nai Nihiyah. And what did we have when we left Yerushalayim? We had the kinos of Yirmiyah, the horrible, sad songs. We add the Beit Hashem being established, the Mishkan, the divine cloud. Hashem's wrath descended like a cloud. We talked about before that the very cloud that used to be the cloud of the Shekhinah dwelling with us is now the cloud that's causing a barrier, kaviyachol, between us and Hashem. Hashkena, Arev, Tzvivot, Archorev, B'Tzeitim, Yitzrayim, we all gathered around Archorev, Matan Torah, the great miracle of receiving the Torah at Har Sinai, Ki'ish Echad, B'Lev Echad, when we left Yitzrayim, Kori Elevo, Anarot Bavel, and now we are singing Anarot Bavel, the horrible, sad songs as we enter the river of Babylon. And it keeps going, Zavach, U'mincha, V'Shema, Namishcha, all the karbanos we had, B'tzeit Mitzrayim, Sukulat Elokuka, Ketzolat Tipcha, and now we are like the karban. We are like sheep being brought to the slaughter when we leave Mitzrayim. Moshe, Yireinu, Ba'aron, Yadchenu, we had great leaders, Moshe and Aaron, B'tzeit Mitzrayim, and now we have horrible oppressors. Nebuchadnezzar, at the time of the first temple, Adayanos Ketzar, the evil Hadrian at the time of the Second Temple. And it keeps going, and then at the end, it says, Torah Otuudo Klei Achemda B'Tzeitim Mitzrayim. We had Torah and its message and the precious vessels when we left Mitzrayim. Sasom V'Simcha V'Nas Yogom V'Anacha. And we pray to Hashem that soon we will have happiness and joy, and we have gone will be all the sad sorrow and singing. Bishuvi Yerushalayim, when we turn to Yerushalayim with the Mashiach Tzidkenu Bimhera B'Yameinu. Eishu Kad Birki. Lama Dala tells another famous story that's brought down in the Gemara in Gittin as well as the Gemara in Sanhedrin. And it's a kina written by Rabbi Yudah Levi, who's going to be writing a lot of the keynotes that we see toward the end about Tzion or Lo Tishali. It tells the story of what happened when Nivuzdaran, who was the Rosh HaTavachim, he was really the executioner for Nebuchadnezzar, went into the Beis HaMikdash. And when he saw that there was blood that was boiling in the Beis HaMikdash, and this blood wasn't from karbanos, it wasn't from sacrifices, and this blood had actually been boiling there for hundreds of years. It was the blood of Zechariah, not the Zechariah we mentioned earlier, but Zechariah from before. There was a melech, his name was Yoash, and Yoash was the king in the middle of the Second Temple. He was actually, after Ataliah tried to kill all of the kings, she was a wicked, evil person, the daughter of Izebel, and she tried to kill all of the descendants of Malchus Beit David so she could be queen, and she left baby Yoash, and Yoash was brought up in an antechamber on top of the Kodesh Kedashim by Yehoyada the Kohen Gadol. You can imagine what happened when Yoash became king. He was a righteous king until Yehoyada Kohen Gadol dies, and Yoash starts to think that he himself is like a god, because he grew up literally in the Kodesh Kedashim. And his half-brother, his adopted brother, the son of Yehoyada, his name was Zechariah, and he was a Kohen also, like Yoyada Kohen Gadol. He tried to convince his brother not to, his adopted brother, not to worship Avodah Zarah, Yoash to remain a righteous king. And instead of Yoash listening to him, Yoash had his henchmen go and kill Zechariah during the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. And the blood of Zechariah burned in the boiled in the Beis HaMikdash for hundreds of years. And the Vudaran comes and he says, what is this blood? And they say it's the blood of the animal. And he quickly realizes that's not true. And so then he goes and he starts to slaughter people. He goes, gather the priests upon me, remove them from the house. I will not be silent until the blood of Zechariah has been avenged. He goes and he kills thousands and thousands of Kohanim. And the blood is still boiling. And then Hosif Larok Nashim im Yoke Shadayim, he kills women with their nursing infants. Vidam Ola Beinayim Kedam Yor Mitzrayim. Now there's blood in the temple like the blood of the Nile. Ade Nasa Nizvar Neina Lashemayim Nidar. And finally he turned to heaven and he said, V'yomer, Ha'ein Dai Ladam Bin Benot Yerushalayim. Is there not enough blood among the blood of Yerushalayim? Akala Ata Osa Esheri Tashivya Va'al Shaka Damnaki V'cherib Nakam Revayi. Do I have to kill every single Jew in order to avenge the blood? And finally, then the blood stops. But this tells you, L'cha chatanu Elokim, Havina v'Roshan v'Aragnav v'Viyacha v'Rishenu. This is the reference in the Eicha when it says, Im Yaharog v'Beit Hashem, Dam v'Navi, Dam Kohen v'Navi. That you see what happens, how sins have consequences. And when this great Kohen and Navi, Zechariah, was killed, and his blood boiled for all these generations, how many Jewish men and women, boys and girls, tzaddikim, tzidkaniyos, had to be killed because of the terrible aveira of the killing of Zechariah, the Kohen and the Navi, in the Beis Hashem. Yo, Lamed Vav is going to be the last kina that I explain. And it really starts a group that's really the last group of kinos, which all start with Tzion. And they talk about the beauty of Eretz Yisrael, of Tzion, of Yerushalayim. The first one, the most famous one, is written by Rabbi Yehuda Levi. And it really describes how Tzion is something that the metaphysical idea, that the Kedusha actually permeates everything in the land. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Levi is known for his love for Tzion. The famous story that we know, Rabbi Yehuda Levi, even though he was very comfortable living in Spain, and he was very respected, he was a great poet and a great Talmid Chacham, he longed to go to Tzion. We have letters that he made it all the way to Damascus, and then we don't have any letters anymore. What happened? Did he make it to Tzion? And the famous legend is that Rabbi Yehuda Levi did make it, and he made it to Yerushalayim, and he made it to the Kotel, and he goes to kiss the ground. And at the moment he kisses the ground, an Arab comes off his horseback and murders him. So Tzion, halo tishali l'shalom asizrayech, Tzion, surely we inquire after your well-being, dorshe shalomech, we seek out your peace. Biyam v'mizrach misafon v'seiman shalom rachok v'karov. We seek out from west, east, north, south, from every direction, your well-being. Shimikom arach shalom asire tava nosin demav kitar chermon. As well-being, shedding tears like the dew of chermon, wishing to shed them on their mountains. And we talk about Hashem's of Ivak Lamosha Balokayach. Hashem has preferred you as an abode. Vashrei Enosh Yivcha Yikarev Vizkom Bachteret. Happy is the man who chooses to draw near to dwell in your chatzer, like Rabbi Yehuda Levi himself did in his life. Ashrei Mechakev Yagia Viyore Olos Ora. Happy is he who waits for you, privileged to witness your life. Ivaku Alav Shacharayach. The dawn, the shachar that will rise of the Mashiach, lirot b'tovat b'chirayach, to witness the success of your chosen one, la'alod b'simchaseich, b'shuvech elai kadmat nirayach, when we delight, when we return to you, to our past youth, to Tzion.